Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. You'll hear of the joys and the sorrows of those who come to the mission for help and hope and how their lives are changed for good. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Robert Briggs.
It's a joy to be with you again this week as we spend some time together getting to know some of the staff at our Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento. I'm delighted this afternoon to be joined by one of the young men who's part of our kitchen staff, and that is Caesar. Caesar, good to have you here today.
Good to be here, Pastor.
We're looking forward to getting to know you a little bit. For our listeners, they love to hear the testimonies of how the Lord is at work in those who are serving the Lord at the mission. And so I thought we would just kick off by you maybe telling us a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you were born, a little bit about your younger years, your family life.
Okay. Well, my name is Caesar. I was born here in Sacramento, actually. So I'm a native of Sacramento. My parents, they're immigrants from Mexico, so we had pretty much a life, I would say, of a little bit of a struggle of learning how to pretty much live in America. Kind of, I still had the culture associated with Mexico, so which always entitled hard work. So I always grew up with work in my life, and my family was there, but with every family, there's problems, and eventually they split up. And, being misguided, actually, by the friends that I kept kind of led me down the wrong path and pretty much ended up involved with gangs and all types of criminal activity that just really put me in a bad place.
Right. So growing up in a home, your mom and dad, were they first-generation immigrants from Mexico, Caesar? Were they born in Mexico?
They were born in Mexico, okay, yes, correct.
Okay, so like myself then, they were immigrants into America. But you were born here, but did you grow up speaking Spanish then?
I did. Caesar? Spanish was my first language that I learned, actually.
Good for you. Well, I can be jealous of that. I'd like to be able to speak a bit of Spanish, but some people say I don't even speak English, but this is how you actually do speak English.
Proper English.
Exactly. So you grew up in a Mexican home, essentially. Mm-hmm. What part of Sacramento what school did you go to?
Well, I went to a couple of schools. Actually, I grew up in West Sacramento, too, for just a period of time. But mainly, I grew up over here in North Sacramento.
Okay.
Actually, down the street from here.
Okay.
I had went to, what was the name of the, Howe Avenue Elementary.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
And then I went to Kelly.
Okay.
North Kelly.
Okay. Yeah. So you're familiar Barry with Kelly, this part of the city where we're sitting.
Correct.
Today.
I grew up around here, around Calexico.
Okay. So you're any siblings?
Yeah, I have multiple siblings. There's 9 of us now.
A big clan.
Correct.
A big clan. Okay. So your mom and dad split up. How old were you, Caesar, when that happened?
Honestly, I was young. I was probably around 4 to 5 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you go with your mom, go with your dad? How did that work out?
Well, I was the only one out of all my siblings that actually stayed living with my mother.
Okay.
My other brothers actually on occasions would go live with my dad for period of time, but I was the only one that actually stayed living with my mother, so I had never really lived with my father at all.
Okay. So always a challenging thing for any child when mom and dad break up and you're staying with one of your parents, the challenges of all of that economically as well as socially and emotionally is significant. Your early years, were you ever exposed to religious things, to Christian things at any level?
I think I could remember my mother always pretty much praying for me, but that is about it. We would try to go to church, but I've only been to church up until like the age of 10. Probably only went once or twice that I can remember.
Right. So so not necessarily conscious so much of Christian things and religious things. You're going through school. Were you into sports or anything like that, Caesar?
I actually played soccer and baseball as well.
Okay, man after my own heart, a soccer guy. Baseball, well, as you know, baseball is an American sport, and I'm a Scot by nature, or by birth. But so you like soccer, baseball, sports. Mm-hmm. You're going through high school. Tell me a little bit about your high school years. What was high school like?
Well, high school, I only ended up being in high school for not even a whole year. I actually ended up getting kicked out my freshman year.
Okay.
And that was pretty much the end of high school.
Wow. So you're kicked out of high school, what age is that, like 13, 14?
Correct.
Okay.
About 14, yeah.
And you're straight into what? You mentioned the gangs.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about how that came about. Or was that just the culture you grew up in, the community? Or
it was part of the culture, the community, but it was also part of hanging out with my siblings. And unfortunately, my siblings, they were involved in gangs as well, but me just... Them being family, I was always around them.
Right.
So
right.
I would say that that influenced me a bit. But at the same time, I wanted to be with them. You know, I wanted to do those things. And
were you the baby of the family?
I was pretty much the second oldest.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
But so I had other like cousins and my older brother.
Okay, your cousins brother, and your brother. Right, got you. So you basically are drawn into a world that's undoubtedly dangerous. Certainly quite far away from any kind of religious influence of any kind. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it now, Caesar, would you say that you were aware of the dangers that you were in, or was it just the thrill of it, the excitement of it, or just this is what you do because this is what my brother does, what my cousins do? How would you kind of look at it from this vantage point?
I honestly knew exactly what I was doing.
Okay.
I knew what I was participating in, and at the end of the day, that was that's what I wanted at that time.
Right. You wanted to be part of it.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So you're pretty young when you get involved in it. Were you pretty much exposed at that time to, you know, drugs and alcohol and all of that, or was that did that come a little bit later?
No. By that time, I was already a full addict. I was using daily.
Okay.
I can remember weeks at a time where I was just not going to school at all, just trying to pretty much use my or feed my addiction.
Okay. Wow. Correct. So you're very young. You're mm-hmm. very much your life at that point has got off to a pretty bad start.
Correct.
Fair to say.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about how that kind of morphed. I mean, obviously, I know a fair wee bit about your history because we're friends and I've known you for a little while. But tell us a little bit about how things developed in terms of your getting more and more into the drug world, the crime world. I know that you end up in prison. Tell us a little bit of just briefly, you don't have to go into all the details of all of that, but briefly how that came about.
Well, it mainly started hanging out with the wrong people, and then that just pretty much being exposed to drugs and then the money and then just that lifestyle in general, my sinful heart wanted that, so I pursued it. And in pursuing that, it ended me up in prison for a good issue of my life, for almost my entire teen, my 18 to about 28 years old.
Okay, so that's almost the first like a adult decade of your life.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So you end up in prison. I would imagine life in prison is not a pleasant reality, especially when you're only a teenager, and then you're just a young man. Not even hardly had experience in much more than what you know in terms of the crime and the drugs and all of that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the experience that you had there. Was there ever any kind of Christian influence in the prison that came to your attention that you even remember?
Yeah, honestly, there was a few people there who had came to the faith, but me being in my still sinful nature, of course, I would just pay them no mind. I would speak to them, but I wouldn't really associate myself with them.
Right. Now, in prison, were you only ever in the one prison, or did you have a few prisons that you were in? I don't know exactly how it all works.
Well, I had spent like 4 years in one prison, and then from there, another one.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, no, five, and then I had spent 1 year in the county jail.
Okay.
Correct.
So you spend the best part of a decade in prison. Mm-hmm. I know that in prison, you're able to get a hold of drugs and all of the rest of it. Was your drug addiction getting help there, or was it getting worse there? How would you describe it, looking back, Caesar?
My addiction while I was imprisoned snowballed.
Right.
Prison only gave me a chance to feed my addiction even more.
Hmm.
And that drove me to a deep place.
Right. So you're 28 years of age. You're getting released from prison. Let's get to the brighter part where things start to move and the Lord and will start to move in your life eventually.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to talk more about that. How did you, I'm assuming you weren't in prison in Sacramento, but you come back to Sacramento. Is that how it worked?
Correct.
Okay.
So I was released in February of 2023, and it was new for me.
Right, right.
Of course, I was still addicted, so.
Right.
But I was still faced with the challenge of readjusting.
Right, right, right. So you come back to SAC, and your story before you get to the mission is it was quite a traumatic season for you in your life.
Correct.
At that point. How did you find out about the Union Gospel Mission? How did you find out we even existed?
Well, honestly, it was both my parole agent had referred me there. Not necessarily referred me, but told me I had to go there. But as well as my family, who was looking for a place for me to go, because by that time I was already back, just fully into my addiction, just pretty much destroying myself.
Right, right. Yeah. So your story coming to the mission amuses me at one level, mm-hmm. Caesar, because I know we've talked a little bit about this, but I mean, when you first were brought or you came to the mission, it wasn't mm-hmm. exactly where you wanted to be, was it?
No, I wasn't.
So tell us a little bit about that. What was your impression when you land at the door of the mission?
Well, I was actually dropped off at the door of the mission, you know, but I gave it a shot. You know, I gave it a shot, and I pretty much kind of liked it, the program. I liked it the way it worked and it functioned. But at the end of the day, after a few months, I just didn't know how to deal with my emotions and everything that I've been dealing with from my past life. I have never really dealt with. I had just put it off or used drugs in order to push those feelings down and never deal with them.
Right.
So that being so, I didn't know how to control my emotions when they did arise after so long of a couple months of sobriety.
Right.
Those actually came back, so I actually ended up leaving.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's an important point for people to know and understand, Caesar, as they listen to your testimony and as they know a bit about what we do at the Union Gospel Mission. It's not an easy transition into the mission from an addictive point of view. And it doesn't always work first time when you come. And you're in a good example of that, where you settle in initially, but it just doesn't work. You leave. But thankfully, you didn't stay away.
Correct. Correct. So what the mission did is initially it enlightened me on who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
And in doing so, I at the time, I believe I did not put my faith in him.
Right.
I was still thinking that I could solve it myself.
Right, right.
But what that first time at the mission did is it gave me a place where I know that I can go.
Right.
To get that help.
Right, right. And I think that's very helpful because, you know, obviously we realize that the mission is we try to minister the gospel, and that the difficult place that many of the men are in, pretty much all of the men in different ways are in when they come in, that hearing the Christian gospel, maybe for the first time, maybe some of them have heard it when they were younger, didn't really register with them. One thing we want people to know and understand is we care. We truly care for your soul. We care for you as a person. And we want you to understand what your deepest and greatest need is. I mean, we can give you clothes and we do that. We can give you food and we do that. We can give you a bed for the night and we can give you nice showers and you can freshen up. All of that is fine, but it's all temporal. What is most important is the deepest need of your soul, and that is the issue of your alienation from God because of your sin and because of your sinful nature. You came back a second time and then left again, didn't you? Was there a second time? And then it was the third time you came to the mission that was the
more effective time. Very first time that I had came, I actually signed up, but I didn't finish the application. I just ended up leaving.
Okay, so that was strike one.
That was the first time. Right. The second time is where I stayed for 3 months.
Okay, got you.
Correct.
Got you.
Right, and then I ended up leaving. Right. And then the third time is where I actually stayed the whole entire time.
Right. And so you come back third time. Mm-hmm. Tell me what was different about the third time, Caesar. How did things unfold for you in the third effort in coming into our New Life program?
Well, this third time that I came in, the reason that I had came in the third time is because when I was trying to self-medicate, I would say, and try to make those feelings of emotions that came upon me when I had left the second time go away, they pretty much were still there. And what ended up happening, what I ended up using, is instead of feeling comfort or anything like that, relief or anything, I felt conviction. And I felt conviction because I know who Jesus Christ was from the preaching at the mission,
right,
from the continuous preaching of the gospel. So I knew who Jesus was, and I know what I have done, and I know it was not what he wanted for me.
Right.
So I felt such a deep conviction that I tried to attempt suicide.
Right.
And that pretty much enlightened me, and God pretty much didn't let that happen.
Right. Amen.
So it led me directly back to the mission, where I knew that I could get help and try to live my life in the manner in which he wanted for me.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, the Apostle John tells us, you know, that the work of the Spirit in our lives and in the world is to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And, you know, when we reflect on how the Lord has worked in your life, it's obvious that there was an awareness, a realization of your sinfulness was offensive to the Lord, and you were not at peace with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And God was basically bringing you to life.
Yeah.
See, yes, the, of the death of sin, wasn't he? And, and then coming back to the mission, and joining in for the third time, when would you say you believe, Caesar, that you kind of crossed from death to life, that you truly apprehended, took Christ seriously as your Lord, as your Savior, and came to a place of faith and repentance?
I believe it was the third time around. The third time that I had got there, that's when I really knew. I felt the pull where all I wanted to do was to read my Bible, know more about my God, because just the grace that he has shown me,
right,
that in itself had brought me some joy,
right,
and peace, a right, peace that I have never experienced. And no matter what I've done in my life, the peace that I got from Christ,
right, right,
it's unexplainable.
Yeah. And of course, the great offer of the gospel in Christ is the fact that no matter who we are, and we're all sinners, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, we all need the forgiveness of God in Christ, that Christ forgives all of our sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ atones for even the vilest and darkest of sins, which is the glorious hope of the gospel and the wonderful offer of the grace of God in our life. Mm-hmm. And clearly you experienced that, you tasted that. Give the listeners a little bit of an insight into what life in the program is like as a young man coming in, and something of the rhythm of the program, and how that struck you as you got past the third month and you kept going.
Sure. So the program, what it does really best is it keeps you in a state of knowing that you need Jesus. By them teaching classes early in the morning and in the evening, as well as a chapel service in the PM, you hear about God the majority of the day, besides when you're working, and as well as doing personal studies to further your knowledge of Christ, as well as dealing with the problems that you had in your life and learn how to bring them to Christ. And the program does such a good job by paying attention to each individual to help them through their problems and help them pretty much to see that they can put their trust in Christ and that he is the one that can help them through all of this.
Right.
He will be their rock.
Right. So what you're really saying, Caesar, is you encountered the centrality of the need of God in your life and the need of Christ in your
correct
life, which is the basic need of all humanity because of our rebellion against God, because of our sinful nature, because of our guilt in Adam, the reality of needing Christ as our Savior, which is why he came into the world.
Correct.
Yeah. So you're in the program, and what does the program encourage in terms of, we always want our men who are professing faith, all of them in general, but certainly the ones who are professing faith, to get involved in church life, to start to look for a church. How does that work, and how has it worked in your life, Caesar?
Well, the mission, it always encourages us to participate with the church, to understand that the church is very important in both our lives in the program as well as outside of the program, because we will not always be in the program, but yet we could always be part of a church and still continue to grow in Christ. Right. And that church is, and being part of the church is essential, and it's of the most importance.
Right. And so, as you came towards the end of the program, obviously I've been involved in your life for a while now. You've been coming to Emmanuel Baptist Church, where I happen to be one of the pastors. You're very faithful. You've moved from the campus out of the program. You graduated through the program, which was a wonderful joy for all of us to see that. You've moved into our Redemption House now.
Correct.
How's life going in the Redemption House? What's the difference between Redemption House and the campus in a couple of sentences?
The difference is there is less people, but you learn how to navigate being back into pretty much, I would say, society, as well as learning how to be a faithful member of the church and how to incorporate both of those. And I believe the location is very, very helpful because it's near the church. So it encourages me to go to the church and to be of assistance in any way.
Right, right. That's true. It's in Midtown. It's not far away. You can walk even there. I know that you guys have done that a few times. And correct. As the warmer weather comes in, I'm sure you'll do it more. You've also come onto the staff at the Union Gospel Mission. Tell me why you wanted to be part of the staff of the mission. And we're very happy that you're part of the new kitchen team that's been developing under Christian.
Correct, and I'm glad to be part of the team. Honestly, the staff there is amazing, and it's great, and I truly believe this program works. And that is the main thing that encouraged me to really help, because being able to experience the transformation in some of the guys that come through the program made me want to help in any capacity that I could, to continue to be part of what is going on at the Union Gospel Mission.
Right.
And being a cook, of course, my mother was a cook, so I loved to cook. And that kind of fell together, actually perfect, so I could actually do what I love, which is cook, at the same time be of assistance and serve Christ.
Right, amen. And you're also considering doing some classes as well, aren't you? I heard that you had a wee look at ARC.
Correct.
As a possible move forward in development.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I do have a little bit of a college experience. I had taken some courses, and I just need a very couple degrees to get my degree. So I just want to be able to finish something that I had started a while back, and I believe that would be helpful for me.
Amen. And we very much encourage all the men to move forward and improve and do better in terms of education and opportunity. And we want all of our men who come through the program, of course, to come to faith in Christ, but also to flourish and thrive in society. And so I'm very excited, Caesar, to see how the Lord is going to lead you in the years to come. You're still a young man. I count it a joy and a privilege to be part of your life, and to listen to your testimony again today, just briefly, is a joy to my heart. For all our listeners, this is Caesar Cervantes. He is part of our kitchen staff now at the Union Gospel Mission. The testimony of the grace of God in his life is a wonderful encouragement to many of us who have got to know Caesar. We would encourage you, if you're listening, that you would actually understand the importance of praying for the mission. Young men like Caesar are being saved by the grace of God, and we are rejoicing in what the Lord is actually doing. If you're interested, come along and visit our campus. We are always working at the mission. You're very welcome to come for a tour. We'd love you to do that. You can get more details at ugmsac.com. And it's a joy for me here on Voices from the Streets to speak to you regarding the work of the Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento. We exist to reach the least, the last, and the lost of our society with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you've been listening today to the wonderful testimony of grace in the life of Caesar Cervantes.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If you're interested in learning more about the work of the mission and how to support them, please visit ugmsac.com or call 916-427-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.